And I just want to go around the room and just see how many nations are represented here this morning. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Many are not here today because they're on the summer break, but which nations? The Dominican Republic, Hong Kong, India, okay, Colombia, I'm sorry, Haiti, awesome, yes, India, South Africa, wow, England, yes, awesome, thank you so much. Wow, in such a small group, look at how many nations we have represented. And in a few weeks, when the students are all back, we'll have even more. So I want to just share, I want to start in Genesis chapter 12. And this is a familiar scripture to us, but I think that we often forget that, you know, right after the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, when God actually confused the languages and scattered people. I mean, you know, right at that time, everybody spoke the same language. And they were committed, kind of in their rebellion against the Lord, said, we'll just do things our own way. And God, in his wisdom, decided he was going to scatter them, create the different languages, and he was going to create a nation for himself, and that out of that nation, he would be reaching people with the truth of who he is. And so he calls a man. He calls Abram in Genesis 12:1, and he says, the Lord said to Abram, and Abram was not even a God follower at this time. He was a pagan. And God calls him, and he says, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And he says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. I will make you into a nation so that you can be a blessing to others. Isn't that an amazing promise that God gives us? And in the Old Testament, of course, the nation that God was forming was the Hebrew nation. But it wasn't that they would just have a nice, cozy experience, and they would just have God all to themselves, and they would just amass all of their wealth and build wonderful cities and a big tabernacle just for themselves. The whole reason God called them to be a nation was that they would bless the other nations. That's our inheritance, folks. And God has a destiny for every nation. Every nation. He's not someone who says, you know, only this nation is special to me. No, God has a destiny for every nation. He has a destiny for the Dominican Republic. He has a destiny for India, for England, for South Africa. He has a destiny for every nation that is represented. And part of our inheritance as believers in those nations is to see that destiny fulfilled. And he blesses us so we can be a blessing to other nations. Isn't that not amazing? And I just came from some meetings. I was in Portland, Oregon the last couple of weeks, and I was working with a group called Loom International, which is a YWAM ministry, and their whole purpose is to reach out to nations protecting women and children who are at risk. And so they were, amazingly, they were able to get a grant that allowed them to bring people from many nations for a four-week training conference on how to protect children at risk, how to work with children that have been orphaned, how to work with children that have been traumatized, how to work with women who have been treated poorly, and how to actually intervene on their behalf. And so when I thought to myself, how many people... How much diversity will there be in Portland, Oregon, right? You know, so they invited me to come. I said, I'll be there. And I thought, well, okay, Portland, it's probably going to be mostly, you know, white people, right? Yeah, I thought it's probably going to be mostly Westerners in Portland, Oregon. But they got this grant. And so they had people from that were India. They had people from Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda. They had people from Mozambique, Brazil, from the Philippines who were ministering into Cambodia. So they had this, they also had some North Americans there, but most of the people were from other nations. And these people are ones that are on the field doing the hard work, like with IJM, that hardly ever get a break. Those are the kind of people that are behind the scenes doing the work faithfully. Nobody knows who they are. You know, they're not the shiny pennies. You know what that means? You know, they're not the one that gets all of the notice, but they're out there doing the work of God in hard places, and they don't often get a chance to come out. So this grant money allowed them to come to Portland. And so my roommate was a lady from Rwanda. And I had not seen her in 6 years. I've been to Rwanda, but I had not seen her in quite a while. And this is what she told me. You guys, you're never going to hear this on the nightly news, right? So tune in, okay? She says, you know what, Camille? She said, the president of Rwanda is a follower of Jesus, and he read Rick Warren's book called Purpose-Driven Life. And so the president of Rwanda contacted Rick Warren and said, will you please come and meet with me because I want to lead a purpose-driven country. Now, aren't you encouraged? You know, she's my roommate, right? I'm like, tell me more. And she's like, well, Rick Warren came to Rwanda, met with the president and said, Mr. President, I am a pastor. I don't know anything about running a country, but if you will give me your church leaders and you will open doors for them in your nation to have influence in all the different areas of society, I believe I can help you have a purpose-driven country. And so the lady who's my roommate, right? She's now, she's a missionary, a full-time missionary with YWAM, but she's also hired part-time by the government of Rwanda. And listen to what they're doing. The government of Rwanda made a decision to empty the institutional orphanages and is calling on the Christians in Rwanda to take in every orphan in the country. And they're doing it. They're doing it. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Rwanda, tiny little country, you know, landlocked little country in East Africa, you know, not a big player on the international scene, but look what they're doing. Look how they are discipling their nation and discipling other nations. When I hear stuff like that, I'm like, Lord, we need to be discipled by Rwanda. Yeah? Isn't it the truth, folks? It's the Lord has a calling and a destiny for the nations. And folks, the nations are sending their students right here. And those students are going to have opportunity to get education of some sort. Now, obviously, many times they're going to get a great academic education, but what kind of a character education are they going to receive? What kind of a spiritual education are they going to receive? What kind of leader will we be sending back to the nations after they have studied here? This is the question we want to think about this morning. So, you know, when I remember when I first joined YWAM, this will date me a little bit, but anybody remember Twyla Paris, you know? Twyla Paris, I kind of like the golden oldies, right, you know? And she had this song, you know, back in the 80s that said, Lord, send me to the nations. Lord, send me. And I remember this will really date me. I remember putting on the album, right, on the record player, you know, and listening to that song, and I would stand in my living room and I would weep. And I would say, Jesus, please send me to the nations. Please send me to the nations. Please send me to the nations. And, you know, I think that should always be part of our prayer. Lord, send me to the nations. But now, 20, 25 years later, it's like the Lord saying, you know what? You can also be praying, Lord, send the nations here. Send the nations here and let us reach out to these people who are coming to get an education. And don't let it just be a nice academic education that doesn't produce any kind of spiritual transformation. And then many times these people go back And without the character transformation, without an encounter with Jesus Christ that can change their life, they could go back with a great education and actually be an oppressive leader. You think, how could that happen? It's easy, folks. Many, many people that leave their countries and come to the West to study go back and they feel like they've climbed the ladder to success. They don't want to associate with the common person anymore. They get a nice job with the government, hang their diploma on the wall, get a nice salary, and they don't make any difference in their nation. It is the truth, folks. So we want to say, well, Lord, how can we minister to the nations that are coming right here to our doorstep? And Lord, as you lead me, how would you have me influence the nations if you would have me to go? It's a going and a coming, right? And it's not even, it used to be missions history, used to be mostly the Western nations taking the gospel to the, to the rest of the world. But now it's really changed, folks. It's nations going to nations. That's what it is now, folks. In a global world that we live in now, it's nations to nations. One of the ladies at this conference in Portland was from India, and listen to what she told me. She said, our church had 100 days of prayer and fasting for the United States recently when the Supreme Court was trying to decide what to do about same-sex marriage. They said, we prayed for you for 100, and prayed and fasted for your country for 100 days. I was floored. She said, we were burdened for you. We were praying for you. We were asking the Lord to protect your nation. You know, folks, is that not humbling? To know, and humbling and encouraging to know that there are other nations in the world who are praying, the church is praying and fasting for our nation, that we would fulfill our destiny in God. I mean, I got more out of going to that conference by hanging out with the internationals than I ever brought to the plate. You know, I did some teaching, I gave my part, but I'll tell you, it was an even give and take. And you know what, folks, when we reach out to internationals here, right here at home, you will not ever feel like it's only one-sided. You will be as blessed or more blessed than you will be a blessing to them. It is the truth. And so the next scripture I want to just look at is Psalm 67, and this is a scripture that we often look at. It's like a blessing prayer. And this scripture says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. And of course, that is when we pray that, we're like, wow, man, that's awesome. Can you just go back, Will? Lord, yeah, be gracious to us. Lord, bless us. Make your face shine upon us. But folks, it doesn't stop there. It's just like what God said to Abram. I'm going to make you a name great so that you will be what? A blessing. And so this is the same thing. Lord, be gracious to us, bless us, make your face shine us. For what reason? So that your ways may be known on the earth and your salvation among all what? Nations. Can you say that really loud? Nations. Folks, it's kind of like in a sense, it's really a puzzle sometimes to me because the Bible talks so much about God's love for people, God's care for the individual, that God knows you. He knows all about you. He's seen you since the day you were conceived. He has a good plan for you. He has a good plan for each one of us in the room. But for some reason, God also has chosen to care about nations. And this is a theme that runs throughout all of Scripture, that God cares for the nations. He raises nations up. He brings nations down. He uses nations to be a blessing. He even uses nations to bring judgment. God has an interest in the nations, and therefore, so should we. We have to really guard against becoming insular and only caring about our own nation. And you know, it's easy to do that, isn't it? Every nation has its things. You think, well, every nation has the things about it that we're so proud of, right? the wonderful culture of South Africa, the things that South Africa has been through, the things that you have overcome, the ways that South Africa has been a model to other nations. You know, the way I've been to Hong Kong before, the beauty of Hong Kong, and the people of Hong Kong and their spirit. So there's things in each nation that we're really proud of, but God cares about your nation. And he cares about the destiny of your nation. And so because of that, even in the next scripture is in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 8, this is just giving you the context. 1 Kings 8 is all about the dedication of the temple. And when the temple was finally built. Now, what did the temple represent, folks, in the Old Testament? When they built the temple, what did it represent? Is where they could meet with God, right? The presence of God. And, you know, there were different parts to the temple. There was the part where you could, you know, you would wash your hands and you'd come into the outer court with praise. And then you would go into the inner court with thanksgiving. And then you could come into the place where it was called the holy place. And then behind the thick curtain was the Holy of Holies. How many people were allowed back there? One. And how many times a year? Once. Who was allowed behind that thick curtain in the Holy of Holies? The high priest. And in that, behind that high curtain, there's the presence of God would literally come down and would meet with the high priest. Well, folks, when Solomon dedicated the temple, okay, this was the place that was going to remind the nation of Israel, God is with us. God is never going to abandon us. We can meet with him here. When we come together at the temple, we're meeting with God. We offer our prayers. We repent of our sins. We're here. It's like an identity for us. Well, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he had this long prayer to bless the temple. And this is part of the prayer, folks. Look at this. He says, as for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, which is the nation of Israel, as for the foreigner who doesn't belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your name. Now, just stop there. He's saying, Lord, foreigners are going to come here because they're going to hear about your nature and character, your great name. They're going to come here to find out about this God who heals people, who provides for people, who protects his people. And they're going to hear about you, and they're going to actually come visit, and they're going to come to this temple. Now listen, look at the rest of the prayer. For they will hear of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When they come and pray towards this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house I have built bears your name. Wow! Is that not amazing? That foreigners would come because they would hear about the name of God. And Solomon says, Lord, when they come, Lord, you know they don't belong to our people, but Lord, when they come to this temple, I ask you, hear their prayers. Answer their prayers. Reveal yourself to them so that they would know that this place bears your name. And then, of course, the idea would be they would go back to their own nations, and they would take the good news about this wonderful God who is a loving God, a caring God, a holy God, a protective God, a good God, that they would come and visit the temple and they would go back and tell their own people, and that people would come into relationship with this God of the universe that they just came and heard about. Folks, that's exactly what it's like when people come here to study. Yeah, they come here to study. Maybe it's because they've heard of the reputation of NC State, right? Or they've heard about the reputation of St. Mary's or Meredith or, St. Augs, you know. Or it could be, you know, no, I'll just say it more quietly, you know, Chapel Hill or Duke. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm a state grad. But, you know, they've heard the reputation of these places, and so they come here to study because they want to get a good education and they want to go back and use it in their nations. But, folks, when they come, this is their chance. This is their chance to come to know Jesus. Many of them are coming from nations where they're not ever even allowed to mention the name of Jesus. They would have no opportunity to know Jesus. But they come here, and while they're here, this is their chance. And how will it happen unless we extend hospitality to these dear people and welcome them, not just into our church, welcome them into our homes? You know, the pastor was telling me this morning, and I never knew this before, that the commander of the Japanese that actually bombed Pearl Harbor had studied in the United States at a university in Oregon and was so embittered by the experience that he had that he went back and ended up becoming the one who bombed Pearl Harbor. Isn't that interesting? It can go both ways, you know. Many times people, if you read anything statistically about foreign students that come here, they will tell you that hardly anybody has ever invited them into their home. Very, very few. Very few foreign students ever get invited into a home. But when they get invited to a home, and we share a meal, and we reach out, and we love, maybe we give a car ride, or we're there for them, it begins to extend the hospitality of Jesus. And it's a blessing, folks. It's an open door to be able to bless the nations. It's kind of interesting, you know, in all of my travels, many times people have a very mixed review about the United States. You know, some people love us and some people hate us and everything in between. I remember being at an airport in Central Asia in Kyrgyzstan, out in the middle of the boonies, and I landed, and I was the only American, and I saw it because we were all holding our passports. We were in the visa line, and it was really chaotic, and there were people from many different parts of Europe, and I speak German, so there were some Germans there, and I could hear what they said. And they looked over at me, and I was the only American, and they said in German, I'm sure they didn't think I could understand it. They said in German, "What is that American lady doing here? We don't need her here. Those Americans, they're such bullies. They think they own everything, and they're always trying to get involved. We don't want them here. I wish she wasn't here." I mean, it took everything in me not to say something in German, you know what I mean? It was a test of grace, you know. And I stood there and I thought, "Lord, what should I do?" And he said, "Camille," he said, "don't say anything because honestly, this is how other people often feel, you know, when they come to another nation and they're not welcomed. So just let yourself feel what that feels like, the rejection, and learn from it." So I didn't say anything. I just took the back. I went all the way to the back of the line, and I went through last. I thought, "Okay, God, I'll just let it sink in." Because, folks, people often do feel rejected when they come to other countries. It's hard to come to another country. People feel lonely when they come to other countries. They don't fit in right away. I lived in Germany 5 years. The first time I went to church, it was a German church. We had English translation, but folks, that doesn't matter because after the sermon's over, everybody's talking in that language and you don't know what's going on. I would go back and pretend I was reading the bulletin board, right? Because all in German. And I would go home and I would cry. I felt so absolutely alone. And so often we're just not very sensitive, you know. So this is just, I just want to encourage us. This is our opportunity. You know, in just a few weeks, all the students are going to be rolling in and coming back to the campuses. This is our opportunity. This is our calling, folks. This is our calling to the nations, and the nations are coming to us. So it's part of our destiny. Yeah? So then if you look at, let's take a look in Matthew 28. This is the famous, you know, commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. And once again, you know, this was when Jesus, you know, was getting ready to ascend back to the Father. And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped. Interesting, after having followed Jesus for 3 years, seen his death and his resurrection, they still doubted. So that gives hope to all of us, doesn't it? You know, as we're talking about the failing feet, you know, even when we feel like a failure or we feel like, you know, Lord, how can I invite somebody into my home? What am I going to say to them? You know, how will that be? You know, Lord, it's really out of my comfort zone. Well, we were singing this morning, Lord, let my trust go beyond my borders, right? Isn't that the way the song went? Lord, give me trust beyond the borders, Lord. Take my trust out another level that, Lord, you can use my home, you can use my room, you can use my car, you can use my culinary skills, whatever they are. You know, if you don't have any, go get a pizza, you know. Just, you know, but Lord, just take me out of my comfort zone, Lord, to reach out to internationals. And then it says here, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says to them, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Folks, this is an amazing truth that's hard to wrap our heads around, but all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and he's given it to us. He didn't hold it for himself. He has given it to us. He has given it to us, folks. The authority of Jesus is within us. Not the authority to oppress, the authority to bless. Not the authority to look down on somebody, the authority to welcome somebody. The authority to teach people who Jesus is, to welcome them, to love them, to bless them, and reflect the goodness of God and be able to share with them the good news of who Jesus Christ really is. It is our calling, folks. It is our destiny to share with the nations. And then the last scripture we're going to look at is in Revelation, actually. I thought this was a good place to end, Revelation 21, because it kind of wraps it all up, God's heart for the nations. As I said, from Genesis to Revelation, you cannot ignore that God cares for the nations, and he will care for the nations even until the next life to come, when we are gathered around his throne room and every tribe, every tongue, every language, every nation is going to be there. When I was in Portland, we had several people there who spoke Swahili, and we were all, you know, sharing a big common dining room, you know, and eating together, and I'd hear them praying in Swahili, and I'd say, oh, you guys are praying in Swahili. They said, yeah, it's the heavenly language. They said, when you get up there, you know, you'll be speaking Swahili. And, you know, and I just loved that because, you know, everyone is proud of their language. Isn't it the truth? You know, somebody else might say, no, Mandarin is the heavenly language, you know. Or, you know, tell me one of the Indian dialects. Pardon? Tamil, you know, is the heavenly language, you know. So did you know that historically when the founders of the United States voted on which language to speak for our country, only one vote short? By only one vote did they vote for English. They almost voted to make German the national language of the United States. I'm serious. You know, so language, you know, it's really interesting. But it says here in Revelation, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That's an amazing promise. The city doesn't need sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Folks, it's the nations. It's the nations. See, what's so beautiful about that is we think, oh, yeah, in the next life there won't be any more nations. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible teaches. No, it says the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Folks, we don't really understand a whole lot about the next life, but we know this, the nations are going to be there. Every tribe and tongue and language is going to be there, folks. Does that not give us some great encouragement? Yeah, it is wonderful. It is It is beautiful. It is our great privilege and our great calling to love the nations. To love the nations. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, I just thank you so much for your great calling to us to love the nations. Oh, Lord, how I do love the nations. And I know that Pastor Taylor and Elizabeth and the folks here love the nations. They wouldn't exist here if they didn't love the nations. So, Father, I pray for a fresh anointing and a fresh blessing upon this church. As the students roll back in, that there will be an amazing harvest of people who come to know Jesus because they have come to this nation to study here. Lord, would you please help us to stretch out beyond our borders, trusting you, Lord, that you have a way to bless us, to bless others who are coming from other nations in whatever way that would be. Help us, Lord, not to hold back, but, Lord, to open our homes, to open our lives, to open our finances, to open whatever we have to be a blessing to the nations, Lord. To open our ears to be people that would just listen and get to know somebody. Lord, I know I need it. I need to be pushed out more beyond my borders. Lord, that to be obedient to you, to be a blessing to the nations, and to receive back the blessing that they bring into my life. Jesus, help us. Help us. Give us more love for the nations. Give us your heartbeat for the nations. Help us to make a deposit into the nations that are sending their young people here, that they will go back as followers of Jesus, who will have compassion, Lord, who have the authority to speak as Christian engineers and Christian doctors and Christian politicians and Christian husbands and wives, who will make a difference back in their nations, that will influence society. Jesus, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, that you be building your kingdom in the nations, through people who know you and love you. Lord, help us. Help us, Father. We thank you that you are the God of the nations. You are most worthy and worthy to be praised, worthy to be praised, worthy to be praised by the nations, in every tribe and tongue and language. We love you. We worship you, Jesus. Now, I just invite you right now as we're transitioning towards the end, even if you would just start to worship Jesus in your mother language right now. Just begin to pray out in your language. In your language. Maybe your heavenly language, but also your mother language, or whatever it is. Yeah. Herr, ich danke dir, dass ich kann Deutsch reden. Dass du bist ein großer Gott. Du bist stark. Du bist treu. Du bist gut. Ich bete dich an. Wir preisen dich, Herr. Wir preisen dich, Herr. Oh, let's hear the languages, folks. Lift up your voices in your languages. Let's lift up your voices in your languages. Bless Jesus in your languages. Let them rise. Let them rise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your nation today. Thank God for your nation. Ask your nation to be a blessing to other nations. Pray for your nation. Pray for your nation. Pray that the kingdom of God will be built in your nation, that it will be stronger, that more people would come to Jesus in your nation, that your nation would be a standard that can actually be a protection to other nations because they're making wise decisions, because they're godly. Lord, thank you. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, O God. We worship you, Jesus, for the nations. Worship you, Lord. Help us not to look down and despise the smaller nations, Lord, like Rwanda whose president wants to lead a purpose-driven country. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Raise up leaders in this country who would want to lead a purpose-driven nation after the ways of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we look to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.